There is great irony that on the first day of winter, the Song of Songs in the first reading today tells us, "For see, the winter is past." We might think that somebody is an idiot who would choose this for the first reading on the first day of winter every single year because it's tied into December 21st. But it actually points to the great truth. Even though everything around us seems like winter's about to start, what the Song of Songs is prophesying is that winter's done because of what we're going to mark in today's O Antiphon. Today's O Antiphon, O Oriens, O Rising Sun, Splendor Eternae Lucis, Splendor of Eternal Light, et Sol Justitiae, and Sun of Justice, Veni, Illumina Sedentes in Tenebris et in Umbra Mortis. Come and illumine those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. Even though it seems like the sun's dying on this first day of winter, we know that that sun of justice, that rising dawn, the splendor of eternal life, Jesus Christ, is himself rising. We see a couple episodes of this. First, we see it in what happened to John the Baptist. In the darkness of Elizabeth's womb, all of a sudden gets irradiated with the light and the joy of Christ. That's what's supposed to occur to us throughout Advent and what we're supposed to be preparing for on Christmas. The desire that we see in the Song of Songs, which is a loving dialogue between God and each one of us in our souls. We're supposed to be crying out with increased longing, "Hark, my lover, here he comes springing across the mountains, leaping across the hill." That's exactly what Jesus was doing, being carried within Mary's womb, even before he had the tiniest of toes. She was taking him down into the valleys and over the mountains in order to be able to bring joy. "My lover speaks," he says to me, "Arise, my beloved, my dove, my beautiful one, and come." Whereas he's coming across those mountains, he says to us with love, "Get up, my beloved, my beautiful one, come. The winter is past." The reality is often we dwell in the shadow, we dwell in the valley of darkness and in the shadow of death. There's a lot of darkness around us. It's very easy to do. The word used in the Latin O Antiphon is sedentes in tenebris. People who are sitting down. People who are not moving. Remember that episode in the Gospel of those, Jesus used the parable of the boys sitting in the marketplace with their flutes, wanting God to sing a dirge when they play the tune, or God to do a jitterbug when they play some fast music. That's not the way it's supposed to. They weren't willing to move. They wanted to sit on the sideline judging Jesus, who was actually moving. And the Lord Jesus comes to us and he says, "Don't stay where you are. Don't stay in your self-pity parties. Don't stay in your sins. Don't stay in your depression. Don't stay in your complaints. Don't stay in your pessimism. Arise. Get up from there. Just like the sun rises every day, get up. I have come to bring you up with me." Once we do, once we get up and start to follow him from the place of sitting in the darkness and in the shadow of death, as if we're already dead, in other words, we're just shadows of who we really ought to be. Once we get up from there and begin to follow the Lord, then we begin to be able to become his light, to radiate his light in the midst of the world. You know, I say a lot because most people are totally bewildered about what the Advent wreath really means. A lot of the people think that the Advent wreath is all about the evergreen sort of aspect, the undying aspect of God's love. It's far more than that. A lot of the people obsess about the colors of the candles, and if they were to walk into a church in which there were only four white candles, all of a sudden they'd be bringing the priest before the congregation for the doctrine of the faith because they think that it's in the color of the candles that matter. It's not. It's the flame. It's always the flame. And as Advent grows, just like the flames on the wreath grow, our love for the Lord is supposed to grow. We're supposed to be saying more and more, "Come, my lover, bound across those mountains." And when we do, then we are more and more capable of being irradiated by His light. Pope Francis, 4 days before he was elected, in the intervention he gave to the cardinal that basically got him elected and changed the history of the church and the history of the world, he talked about the church being the mysterium lunae, the mystery of the moon, that the church is supposed to live that mystery of the moon. What did he talk, what was he describing? He was describing that just as the moon reflects the light of the sun, so the church as a whole and every Christian needs to reflect the light of Christ. But that's a choice. First of all, it's divine grace by God. We couldn't reflect His light unless He were already shining on us. But it's also a choice. It's a choice to live in that light. It's a choice to bring ourselves out of the valley of darkness where no light shines. Some of the times there are some of us who would prefer to sit in a locked, dark room, nourishing our resentments, rather than leaving them and going on out. That's what the Lord's asking us to do as we prepare for Christmas. Pope Francis, in his apostolic exhortation of about a month ago now, so you've had 4 weeks to read it, I hope that you've made a dent into it already. But he said many Christians look as if they're perpetually returning from a funeral. Their whole life seems to be a Lent without an Easter. They don't radiate this light of the Lord, this joy, this passionate love that we sing in the Song of Songs. And that is a total counter witness to what we were doing. Rather than evangelizing, we're scandalizing by our lack of real happiness in the living of the faith. Christ comes because He wants to take us out of winter into the heart of summer. And even if it's 50 degrees below zero, even if we're getting pounded by a blizzard in the middle of the night, as long as we've still got Jesus, we've got within us the same Son of Justice that Mary carried within her womb. How does the Lord illumine the shadow of death? He illumines not even the shadow, but He illumines not just the shadow, but He illumines also death itself. That's why the great way that we prepare for the celebration of His birth and the great way we live Advent is here at Mass, in which we receive within that rising dawn. And we prepare to overcome death precisely by entering into His death and through that death, His resurrection. The way we experience that bursting supernova every day is here at Mass. There was a reason why the Church always had new parishes erected with the churches facing east. Still really should be the model. It was just changed because people lost the notion of symbolism and nobody cared. But churches were always built in cruciform ways to show that the church is with Christ on the cross and that the same body that hung on the cross for us in our salvation comes in that church. It wasn't just any old architecture. There was a reason to the cruciform. And the entire church faced east. The altar was always pointed toward the Oriens, toward Christ rising from the east. Why? Because as the priest was facing Jesus in the tabernacle, and at the words of consecration, when he lifted up the host above his head, everyone would be able to see the rising sun of justice. Just like the sun comes over the eastern shore, so Christ is rising and lifting us all up together with him. That's a fact of what the Lord does. But it's also supposed to be a moral reality. I had Deacon Tim read at the end of today's passage what would be the passage for December 22nd, but because it's the fourth Sunday of Advent, we won't hear it. It's Mary's beautiful Magnificat. And in it, with the Lord Jesus within, she sings about this rising of the sun that's supposed to occur within us. He has looked upon his lowly servant. He's cast down the mighty from their thrones, but lifted up the lowly. As Jesus seeks to meet us in a dramatic encounter of love, running out to each other, just like a husband and a wife who haven't seen each other for a year would run across gymnasiums when the husband comes back from Iraq. That's the way the Lord wants us to prepare to go meet him. And as he continues to rise, he wants to raise us in that loving embrace. So we prepare to see the rising sun elevated in the consecration. Let us ask him to do just that, so that rather than sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, we might be following him into life. Praise be Jesus Christ.